This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Oanda market analyst Kenny Fisher. And in the USA, it is Trader Nick. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Johnny. Hey, Kenny.
Okay, let's start with the latest US GDP numbers, which came out a little earlier today, guys. And the US economy has shrunk in the first 3 months of the year. And that is largely due, I believe, to a drop in government spending and a surge in imports as firms race to get goods into the country ahead of tariffs. We've seen the economy in the United States contract at an annual rate of 0.3%. So that, Nick, is a pretty sharp downturn after what we saw was a growth of 2.4% in the previous quarter. It's quite a turnaround.
Certainly is. And, you know, after doing this podcast, the last few years, we've covered this really extensively just because, of course, this is kind of a podcast centered around the foreign exchange, global exchange. We've talked a lot about, you know, growth in other areas and how the U.S. has specifically had really outsized and impressive growth relative to other places. We've seen a real drawback or drawdown in the U.S. dollar because of what you just described. We've seen a little bit of that impeccable U.S. growth outperformance story slow down, I mean, pretty significantly. That's been the theme here of 2025. It has been a little bit of a sell America trade. That's been the theme globally, where we see the U.S. dollar, the U.S. stocks, stock market, and even U.S. treasuries come under scrutiny. So to add gas to the flame, if you will, this advanced GDP number is certainly not a positive thing, especially for the camp of people who are kind of making the point that we're not going into a recession, that we're going to hold out okay here. Of course, it's too soon to claim or call whether that is happening or not. But we've seen scrutiny about what's happening, what the pace of, at which these changes in global trade have been introduced. And we have, like you said, some contraction in the U.S. economy start to hit the hard data. This has been the big debate, has been all of these worries, this sentiment, this quote-unquote soft data, right, materializing in the hard data. That's been the big question. Are we going to see all this worry about, you know, consumer sentiment and CEO, you know, uncertainty, all these things? Is that going to materialize in the actual data? And we're seeing some evidence that perhaps it is, Johnny. I mean, we've got, as you said, a contraction in GDP. The other notable number this morning was the ADP non-farm employment change number. And that's following jolts yesterday. So we had two job report data points that came out this week that were amiss, right? They were soft. So jolts job openings came in soft, showing continued downtrend in that area of the labor market. And then we also had the ADP non-farm employment change number come in at 62,000 jobs compared to the forecast at 114,000 jobs. So that was a miss. So we had a miss in GDP, a miss in ADP, and a miss in the job openings number that we saw yesterday. So all in all, we are seeing a little bit of contraction. And one thing I just wanted to point out is that now the bond market is pricing in a probabilistic 4 interest rate cuts from the Federal Reserve. So we see some stacking up here of, well, growth is starting to show signs of not just soft consumer sentiment, worries, data, but rather hard data is actually starting to show a little bit of that is leaking into the state of the economy, it seems.
So since the beginning of the year, in terms of rate cuts, we've seen that change to the possibility of just 1 to now 4. That's obviously had an impact on the dollar. And this report, the GDP report, Nick, when you think about it, it's probably the first really comprehensive reading of how the world's largest economy is holding up following the introduction of the tariffs by President Donald Trump and all of the uncertainty around it, which has scrambled global trade and certainly created all of this uncertainty. But having said all that, I think it's going to take a lot more time for economists, for analysts, for people like you and us to understand the impact of those changes. This is just early days, isn't it?
It's certainly early days. And the tricky part about it is, you know, we have obviously seen markets drop as the initial response. And to be fair to both sides, where does this go, to your point, in the long term is very hard to answer, right? Maybe let's, you know, be optimistic from a US perspective, this concept of wanting to renegotiate some trade that is considered, you know, by the way, there are, you know, it's not just a fully, you know, Donald Trump thinks this only, that trade negotiations need to happen. There is, it's a pretty, you know, overall, like, okay, that is an issue that needs to be addressed. People disagree largely with how he's doing it. But this concept of, you know, trade negotiations may in the long term, if there is some, you know, maybe takedown of trades in both directions, perhaps that in the long term is actually a positive thing for the strength of, you know, the US staying centric to trade. But, you know, we'll have to see. There's so many unknowns with this. Maybe there's not. Maybe this seriously causes many other countries to turn a shoulder for the long term to the U.S., right? So that's there's a possibility that this comes out as a positive thing. There's a thing that it could come out negative. I think for traders and for everyday investors who are watching this stuff, my personal opinion on it is really what we were just got done discussing. Watch the hard data, right? Because soft data is tricky in all this. You get sentiment that, let's face it, can be highly politicized. When you ask people, are they worried about things? Inevitably, people sort of vote with their feelings to a certain degree. But to the things that we just got done discussing with some of the hard data today, that's where I think the rubber meets the road. To your point, this is where we're starting to see some evidence that maybe there is some actual lasting negative impacts to what's happening. And it's not just rumors and worries, you know, which have been the centerpiece of debates in economics for the last few months. And we'll continue to watch how that rolls out, how that data falls.
Just to add to that, Johnny, you mentioned that it could take quite a while for economists to figure things out. But as we all know, the markets are not waiting. Investors are not waiting at all. The Dow Jones is down about 1% today already on the soft numbers that Nick mentioned. And I'm somewhat concerned, or looking at very closely at the non-farm payrolls on Friday. I think, again, that's supposed to be quite lower than what we had. We had about 220,000 last month. The markets are looking at about 130,000, which is quite weak. And if the actual reading is even lower than that, I think we might see a very strong negative market reaction, because of non-farm payrolls is obviously hard data. And if it's weak, investors will be giving it a thumbs down, and we could see a significant drop in the markets and in the US dollar.
And could we see more moves to cut rates at the next Fed meeting, do you think, guys, if the non-farm payrolls do come up a lot lower than expected?
I don't think that non-farm payrolls will actually affect the next meeting, which is on May 7th, there's about a 90% chance that the Fed will leave rates alone. So it's pretty hard to see that changing just because of the non-farm payrolls. But moving further down in the year, we do see that there will be some rate cuts. For example, in June, we're looking at about a 60% chance, and that could go higher up if non-farm payrolls are weak. So I don't think we're going to see something next week from the Fed, but certainly things are fluid as far as what happens in the next few months.
Would you agree with that assessment from Kenny and Nick, that there's absolutely no chance of a rate cut next week, whatever happens to non-farm payroll, and despite this GDP fall today?
So here is a personal opinion on the matter that I think it might, you know, spice things up, make things interesting today. So when did Powell last make kind of a surprise cut? It was the 50 basis point cut before the election, right? Which got all sorts of up in arms about people saying, oh, that's, you know, infringing upon the election, all this and that. I do think it is fair to say that Jerome Powell is especially staying focused on his dual mandate right now, rather than trying to lend a hand to the Trump administration. I think that's a fair way of putting it, not necessarily saying he's totally, you know, politically incentivized by any means, but there is this willingness to stay true to the mandate and not just to bend to the will of Donald Trump. So I think that he, in some ways, may actually, by Trump, you know, aggressively taking a stance to try and get him to cut rates, I actually wonder if I was in that position, if I would be like, no, I really need to see the data to cut rates, right? So I actually think, to Kenny's point, the chances of a rate cut are very low, even if you get a soft NFP report for a cut on May 7th, because again, it would be in some ways, it may signal that he's caving to the demands of Donald Trump and going back on what he just said about his dual mandate. So I think that's not a great look. And I also think that it would signal some worries in terms of, you know, he's put the perspective, I'm not going to cut until we see this. And then he turns around and cuts. I think that would actually spook the market a little bit. And so that's my opinion on it. I think there is potential some politics on this, but really I do think Jerome Powell for the most part is sticking to his goal, sticking to the Fed's goal, Fed inflation, or looking for inflation to continue to cool. You know, Johnny, in the UK where you're at, we saw inflation go down to 1.7 and then jump right back up. So we're at 2.4 in the United States with the CPI. There is worries and past examples of inflation, you know, reversing course and going back up. And I do understand from the Fed's point of view, cutting interest rates too soon, especially when we don't know the impacts of all this tariff stuff. I think it's fair to say, look, the labor market is not in critical condition. The U.S. economy is not in critical condition. We've had great couple of years of strong growth. It is okay as long as we don't see significant deterioration from here in the labor market and in the GDP growth and all that stuff, to maybe take it slow and to take their time. I actually think that would instill some confidence in the U.S. markets as opposed to bumping it up to 5 cuts this year.
On the plus side, though, for those fearing a rise in inflation in the medium term, at least, we still see the oil price falling. Just looking at the moment, Brent crude just above $63. It's lost nearly 1.5% today, and WTI once again below $60 a barrel. So this will be an encouragement, won't it, in terms of the inflation numbers going forward. And today, in fact, Kenny, we've seen some CPI numbers from Australia, haven't we?
That's correct, Johnny. Headline CPI in Australia was actually unchanged at 2.4%. But there was some really big news about core CPI, which excludes food and energy. And that went down to 2.9% from 3.3%. It's the first time in 3 years that core inflation is within the Reserve Bank of Australia, the central bank's target band between 1 and 3%. So that is significant. And throw in the mix the political angle with an election on Saturday. And for labor, that's a positive development that inflation is down. The finance minister was very quick to jump on that, saying that he expects rates to be cut perhaps 3 or 4 or 5 times this year. And that will save mortgage holders hundreds of dollars. So the government's trying to make the most out of the fact that inflation is going down. But again, for central bankers, as Nick has mentioned, there's a lot of uncertainty. It's really a muddy forecast. But the central banks are somewhat, I guess, hesitant to lower rates when they're not sure where things are going. But inflation seems to be going lower. As you mentioned, oil prices are staying down. That's another downward pressure on inflation. So if inflation is contained, I think a lot of central bankers will be looking at cutting rates in order to boost the economy, such as in Australia, in the Eurozone, perhaps even in the States if things do deteriorate.
And as a final thought, Nick, all the talk has been the fact that tariffs are going to increase inflation and they are going to affect the global economy negatively. Just supposing, as we've seen, oil price is down, inflation is down right across many different countries. And in fact, the tariff situation isn't half as bad as we thought it would end up being, because Donald Trump may be pulling back from some of the higher tariffs, maybe doing deals. As he said, there's a deal ready to be signed. We think it's possibly India, a trade deal. There are others, Japan, Korea, maybe the UK to come. And maybe the tariffs won't be quite as bad. And so we won't actually see that high inflation that a lot of people predicted.
Well, and the other thing to your point about oil is, speaking of deals, if Ukraine and Russia does reach some sort of stopping point or deal, if we see the Trump put in the Middle East in the form of putting, well, battleships in the ocean out there, that's a Trump tactic 101, like, you know, threatening the big stick, Ronald Reagan 101 approach, right? That's another thing, right? These are piece by, you know, different tactics, whether it be negotiation or simply by, you know, fear. I don't, you know what the main objective there is in terms of their approach. But the point is, deals being made on the geopolitical front and deals being made on the trade front, any development in that is a positive for inflation expectations, positive for growth. I mean, there's also the concept that if there's heightened risk to war, that more fiscal spending will have to go into military spending, whether it be in the US, Europe, wherever. So there's several facets here. And I think that making deals on the geopolitical front and or on the trade front are disinflationary for the most part. As we know, tariffs are a price hike. There's somebody's got to pay them, right? So they're not just, as Warren Buffett said, he said, the tooth fairy doesn't pay them, right? Somebody's got to pay them. And that largely ends up being the consumer. So, we'll have to see where all that goes as we continue to monitor places like, as you mentioned, Japan and Vietnam and all these different countries, the EU, to see where that goes next. And the big one, obviously, being China. Where does that kind of land us? Where do they end up making some sort of negotiations? We saw yesterday there was a little bit of a come down on ethanol imports to China from the US. So maybe both sides are positioning themselves for negotiation.
Okay, guys, we'll speak again on Friday where we will review the latest non-farm payroll numbers. Until then, have a great day and speak to you soon.
Nice to be with you.
Thank you, guys.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.